That's right, everybody. Don't let your mama into the room. Don't let your little sister in here. You just sit down, get ready for Kalina and Saylet. They're reading dirty books. Shh. We're reading dirty books.
Welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. I'm Kalina.
And I'm Saylet.
And this is our 15th episode you are joining us for. We wanted to start off by giving ourselves a big round of applause because last week in our timeline, we finally posted our first episode.
Fuck yes!
So we recorded 14 episodes before we finally figured out what the fuck we were doing.
Oh my god. And we're still learning.
Oh, of course.
Oh my god.
So if you have been with us since the beginning and you're now getting around to episode 15, which we think is going to come out sometime in September of 2018. Welcome to our past and your future. Mm-hmm. If anyone has emailed us or sent us any kind of notes in Twitter or on Facebook and you were wondering when we were going to respond to them, the future, that's when.
That's when, yeah, yeah.
In our world, nobody even knew about our podcast yet. It's what? Only week two.
So new. So, Google Play. They literally, the same day that we first came out, literally approved our podcast to go on their stream, so it's just been a roller coaster, but it's been awesome.
I always wanted to be a bit ahead because I feared that with a book podcast, there were going to come times where we'd plan to record and then something would come up and we wouldn't be able to read the book. We wouldn't be able to get together. It's not a podcast that you can just get together and wing. You have to have read a book, and that can be challenging. Mm-hmm. We both have lives. It's hard. I don't think I ever envisioned us being 15 episodes.
I think we were planning more around
four.
Yeah, like five, maybe four, five, six, even.
I was like, if we have four in the bank, I'll feel confident. But then I was like, oh shit, we have 3 months in the bank.
We do 13 episodes by the time we were ready. And it was like on the, 11th, 12th maybe episode was when I finally discovered Audacity. When I could start doing the edits.
Actually edit and make our podcast sound somewhat decent.
Yeah.
So I like to say that this is, our podcast is like the lake house. If you are writing to us from the future and are concerned about why we haven't responded, it's because we're getting your letters in the past. Or maybe vice versa. I'm not sure. We're talking to you in the past and you are writing to us in the future.
Yes.
That makes more sense. So sorry for the lake house effect of this podcast.
That's true. Yes.
And maybe in the next 2 months or so, we'll have things to say if you have talked to us. Or there could be nobody listening right now, and two of us could be like 5 months into this thing, talking to ourselves.
Having the time of our lives. I'm sure we'll address some stuff on Facebook as they come in, or Twitter, or whatever, as they come in, but
yeah, we'll try to be responsive there.
But as far as recording goes and addressing any questions you guys might have.
Or corrections, or times that I've fucked up royally.
Just you.
Oh, I like to say things with absolute determination that I'm 100% correct. And then I don't go back to fix them. So
I love it. I believe it, because, you know.
Sure.
It's Kalina. Kalina's talking. Everything she says is right.
Absolutely. Why would I be wrong? anyways, that was, so yes, welcome to, it's still March for us, but September for you, or God
whatever.
Only knows.
Yeah.
Whenever. Yeah. Welcome.
Whenever it is.
Welcome to episode 15.
Yes, of a podcast where we read paranormal romance novels and discuss them with
that
you.
That is what this podcast is about. Today we read Pleasure Unbound, the first book in the Demonica series by Larissa Ione. And narrated by Cassandra Campbell. Quick synopsis of the book is the world it takes place in, there are demons. lots of demons. There's whole other, like, dimensional, like, worlds of hell and stuff, that are in, like, Earth or underground or something. But there's a lot of demons. They're not well known to humans. But there is a group of humans that they call themselves the Aegis, are often referred to by demons as slayers and sometimes called buffies, which I fucking love.
I love that too. I fucking love it.
Mm-hmm. Like my little like 20-something year old heart was like, I love Buffy. So
that was perfect.
So good. So Taela is one of these Aegis hunters where she hunts demons and kills them in order to protect the human race as far as she's concerned. And then there is Eidolon, and he is a Seminis demon who works in the first and only demon hospital. It's in New York. He set it up and created it with his brothers, and they help demons with healthcare problems and patch them up, and they have like special wards so there's no fighting, because demons fight amongst themselves, of course, and then no humans are supposed to know this. And then one day, Taela, in like pretty bad shape, gets brought into the demon hospital after obviously having some kind of fight with a demon. Mm-hmm. And he gets brought in as well. And it's up to Eidolon to fix her against all the demon's presence wishes. They think that he should turn her away or even kill her because she hunts and kills demons for a living. So naturally, they fall in love.
Yep. Of course. Forbidden love.
You gotta have that. Yeah. I mean, it's so integral to these books. They have to be on opposite sides and then fall in love. Romeo and Juliet style,
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's dealing with this whole, like, second maturation process of Seminis demons, where at their 100-year mark, they change. They, like, become full Seminis demons and they kind of can lose themselves. So he's trying to put this off because it's not really a great change that happens to him. She has ton of baggage about demons, because as far as she's concerned, a demon raped and killed her mom in front of her, and just bad shit in her history. So she hates all demons and wants to kill all demons, and but she can't kill him, and he saves her, and he's an incubus, so he's got a little sexual mojo. Yeah. Then they kind of come together, and it turns out they're really good for each other. Mm-hmm. And she saves him, and he saves her, and the world is good again.
It is.
Well.
Well.
It's better.
Their world is sort of good again.
Yeah, there's still a lot of loose ends at the end because this is the first of a series. So there's a lot of pieces that need to, you know, carry through into future books. Like, you know, his brothers are obviously going to be main characters in future books. She learns a lot about this group she thought she belonged to, the Aegis. And, you know, are they really good and for the benefit of mankind, or are they blind hating and killing anything indiscriminately? She starts to find out that there are demons that aren't evil, that don't kill humans, that don't even eat meat, or, you know, don't bring anything evil to the world. And so maybe she has to question a lot about her past.
Yeah.
And what she thought she knew.
Yeah, there was actually a lot of things going on in this book. When I first started listening to it, I had a hard time following it. I didn't really know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then I finally caught on. And then I understood things. I think the names of the characters alone were throwing me off. They're great names. I'm all about, like, the, you know, well, I guess some crazy names. We did have a problem with one of the books that we read. They had stupid names. But
was that Wrath and the Brotherhood? The Black Dagger Brotherhood? They had dumb fucking
they
names.
The Brotherhood had dumb names. But also that book about the chick that went to Ireland. They had some dumb names in that one, too.
Oh, we laughed about that one. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway.
No, these were really creative names, and that was, like, as two people who have non-traditional names, it's always fun to come across other non-traditional names. But it is one of the downsides to listening to books.
Yeah.
If you're reading a book, you can see a new name, and it, like, visually can stick in your brain. You can develop the pronunciation that just makes sense for you, and it's easier to remember. If you're being told a name that you're not familiar with, and you never get to see it written down, it's real hard. Yeah. I did not know Eidolon's name. Mm-hmm. Well, also, in the book, they call him E all the time, so that doesn't help, because now he has two names, and one of them is very simple, it's E, and I can follow that, and the other one is Eidolon. But hearing them say Eidolon, like, all the time, I still didn't know what, like, after when we were first talking about the book, I was like, Elgin, Adol, Albert. I don't know. Yeah. Something with an E.
It was weird. Yeah.
So we had to actually look it up and see it visually, yeah. See the name Eidolon before it like yeah. sunk in that that was his name.
And you guys are going to hear us reference probably E. Well, I mean, now that we know it's Eidolon and we know how to say it or spell it. But if you hear us talking about
it's easier E, to just say E. And they call then, him E a lot in yeah, the book. Yeah, they do. She calls him Hellboy.
I think it's hilarious when she does because that, there was one point when they were like having sex and he goes, say my name, and she goes, Hellboy.
She like, never said no. Eidolon in that sentence either. No. She just called him Hellboy.
I love it because he's like, no, my no, real name. I mean, like, Eidolon.
I have a name. No, it was really, I liked her nickname for him. I thought that was cute. Yeah, so I can see how in a book full of unusual names, it can be difficult to follow what's happening at first. Like, I didn't know anyone's name in that first scene in the hospital. Yeah, I was like, I don't fucking know what they're saying.
I think that's why I was confused.
It was like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll tell me. They'll mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. No, I really like this book.
Me too.
I think it is super well written. There's a unique twist to Taylor. They jump right into the sex pretty quickly. I mean, he is an incubus. Yeah. So we're not going to play around with him being all like, I don't want to do this.
Right.
You know, that's his whole demon self is sex, mm-hmm. right? That's what their major hang-up is. But she cannot orgasm during sex.
Very interesting.
And so it's super weird how it's written. Like, it's all intense and it's good and stuff. But even somehow listening to it, I would get just as frustrated
oh my
as
God,
Taylor.
I'd be like, totally was.
Why aren't we orgasming?
Why?
So upsetting.
I know. When she first said that, I was like, why is it happening to her? This is like torture.
It was torture.
It was.
And I really am surprised that she was able.
Blue balls.
Right? But that she was able to write it in such a way that it still was a very like sensual and
yeah.
sexy sex scene
oh.
but it wasn't fulfilling at the end
right.
as a reader. I was still like, oh, she didn't orgasm. Oh, it's all upsetting.
It was squishy. We got another squishy book that had really good squishy scenes, but whew. We just didn't get the exclamation point at the end, and it was
never.
Just like,
well eventually well, she
yeah,
does
yeah.
but it's like really,
it's
it is like
almost a yeah.
two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through like, the book before they yeah. work that out, and then mm-hmm. it's all like good from there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot of scenes where she's just not getting it off, and yeah. I'm like, oh god, damn it! And I felt her frustration, and I was frustrated.
I know. She could get it herself, like she could get yes. herself selfies, and
but she said fine. Even that was touch and go.
Sure,
like.
Literally.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. So awesome. I'll just appreciate the lovely, not intentional turn of phrase that was.
Great.
but she had a hang up because she had watched her mom be raped and murdered, and it just left her with a lot of issues around sex. So
yeah.
she needed someone to help work through them with her, and she never had that in her life. She actually didn't have a lot of people in her life, and that's a big piece
yeah.
of this book.
And that's a typical cookie cutter part of a story where they don't
that's
have too
true.
Many people.
How many of our
lives?
Like heroines are all like loners for
loners,
some reason or other?
Single or no parent.
They're all orphans. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, have any of them not been orphans?
No, that's true. I mean, aside from the one that was adopted, she had two parents, but still,
we don't know what
like,
happened to her family.
No, we haven't. Her sister was murdered, and yeah, like, we don't know
her original family, yeah.
Her blood
her parents
are. Well, they all have some type of paternal type of issues. It is like the Disney princess theme that are like, they just follow a different
right?
Because
none of the princesses have.
I mean, yeah, there's some sort of, like, weird
yeah.
something that's going on with some of these princesses, but most of them don't have mothers.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed listening to Cassandra. She was good to listen to. I could tell the difference between her characters and her voices and stuff like that. So I think from the beginning it was hard just because of the character names, but once you got into it, mm-hmm. it was pretty good, and I'm sure it's easier to read. So for those of you reading along with us, probably
yeah.
picked that up better.
That's definitely true. But no, she did it as a narrator. Good job. I would listen to her again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She didn't do real silly accents, which is always nice. It's real appreciative.
But I think there was a lot of things going on in this book.
There's a lot of world building. Like with all of ours, first in a series, you kind of got to create the world that you're that your characters are living in and make it real enough for your audience. And she did a really good job of that without making it like boring or like too detailed or
too open.
Too open.
Because you want to glue us in so that we'll come back again.
And there's so much more to learn. Like, there's all these weird demon councils that we barely got information about, and they kind of pass out. They seem to have their own internal law structure where, like in the vampire world, if they take too many, they're all allotted a certain number of human
kills
a month.
Oh, is it a month?
It's a month.
Yeah, a month.
And if they go over, then there's a punishment that happens. And I'm like, that sounds crazy.
And how one do you know?
If all, there's so many vampires, how do you know who's killing who and how many? And like,
I wonder if it, like, the way that I envisioned it was sort of kind of like with Harry Potter when they knew if underage did magic. Then, the Ministry of Magic would find out, so...
Well, I imagine it's gotta be magic. Because there's magic in this world, too. Mm-hmm. There's black magic that humans can perform. There's demon magic. They do... Like, the hospital runs a lot on magics and powers, because different demons have different powers. They're particular, the Seminis demons that the brothers are... E and all of his brothers, they seem to have healing powers. Like, that's part of being a Seminis demon. So they can use their powers to help heal other demons or heal humans and do all this. So there's magic in this world. So I'm just guessing that the vampire court or whatever has to have some kind of magic about humans killed by vampires. That's the only way it makes sense that they could know all the vampires in the world and if they're killing their allotted human people or going over.
Are they vampires?
Some of them.
No, the...
No, his brother is.
Which one?
Wraith.
Wraith is a vampire.
Yeah. Sorry. So, here's the key to Seminis demons.
Oh my god!
Let me share this.
Enlighten me.
I will. So, all Seminis demons are male. And they sole purpose is to mate and produce offspring. They can mate with any female demon, and it doesn't matter, their offsprings will be a full-blooded Seminis male demon. That's why E and him have 40 brothers, because they're all born of different demon mothers. And they take on some of their mother's characteristics, like Wraith has to drink blood, because he was born to a vampire, so he has to do that. But he's not a full-blown vampire, that's why he falls under a weird category.
That's right.
And he can, like, he goes out in the sun and does a bunch of stuff that we don't know whether other vampires can or not. But Eidolon was born of a justice demon or something. They had a different name, and I don't know exactly what their names were.
I think you're right about that, yeah.
But, his mom was a justice demon, and they kind of rule a lot of the courts and decide whether there's an infraction. Like, if you bring a case, they investigate the infraction, get to the truth, and then mete out the punishment. And so he did that for a while with his mom's family, but in the end, he's not really a justice demon. He's a Seminis demon, so he doesn't have their powers. He has Seminis powers, so he quit doing that and started being a doctor. And then Shade, we don't know what his mother was, but he has some weird, like, power to be a shadow.
Yeah. Which is cool.
And some curse that they don't tell us about either.
Yeah, they cryptically tell us about it.
But yeah, so they're all full-blooded Seminis demons. They just have small traits that come from their mothers because they're born to other demon moms. Because there are no Seminis females. They're just male.
See, I'm picking up pieces and parts because I remember hearing all this stuff. I just never put them together.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why Wraith keeps going off and drinking the junkies because he wants to get high because he can't get high on... like alcohol or drugs himself, but he can drink a drunk person or high person and become high vicariously.
That's actually kind of cool.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Because he has to go kill junkies in order to get high. It's a weird world.
It is a weird world. So. Okay, well, now I have a better understanding of Wraith. He is the troublemaker of the three.
He's causing lots of problems. Well, it sounded like their father was not very kind to Wraith's mother.
Right.
Like, he forced her that's what a lot of Seminis demons are. They do force the pregnancies on women unexpectedly. And then he held her captive until she gave birth. Mm-hmm. And then killed her, I think. It sounded like she died. And then the vampires took it out on Wraith and pretty much almost killed him. And the brothers had to save him. And they killed his father. They killed their father.
So why is it that E has to take all of Wraith's punishment? That was something...
He's the oldest living male of brother. Like, because of the
Rogue
line.
Died.
So. Yes, yeah, so Rogue was the older one. The other 20 that we don't get names on that were older than him. Yeah. So he's the oldest one left. They are afraid that if the Vampire Council punished Wraith, he would either die or he would lose his mind. Because he has that trauma in his past from being tortured almost to death by the vampires as punishment. That if they did it again, he wouldn't survive it.
Right, okay.
So they've never told him that in every time he fucks up, E has to take his punishment.
Yeah.
So that's a real problem that's going to come up in future books. Because is unsustainable.
Yeah. Well, he gets sent to the vampire world like 3 times in this book, so...
Yeah.
To go get punished for fucking... Yeah.
And beat, like, to hell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put up with that if I was Taylor for very fucking long.
No, I would not even.
I'd be like, let me go to the vampire council. I got some words for them. So, anyway. Yeah, it's... I mean, this is a deep book. This is a intricate book. Like, I think it's a really, really well-written book.
Yeah.
It keeps your attention, and it seems... Again, same fucking story, of course. Like... opposite people attract and fall in love and overcome all these fucking complications in order to be together. Sure. It's the same story of every book we've read.
Yeah.
Except for the succubus one. That one was different.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, the basic structure away.
Yeah.
It's a very different, like, this is a new world and it's full of interesting things that I, you know, haven't seen in a book yet. So I liked it.
Yeah, me too. And the sex... was sexy. It was really, really good. I did get pulled in a lot to the different scenes that were happening there.
Yeah.
I think I always kind of, like, I think in the back of my mind think, oh, that's a little soon that they're having sex, but at the same time, I kind of appreciate it. Because then it's like, it draws me in, it keeps me engaged, and then I'm like, okay, then this means it's going to be more sex, and it's not just going to be the one sex scene in the end.
Yeah.
Which could be good, or not, but at least you're getting consistently throughout the book.
I appreciate that. It, you know, it definitely, it comes fast and hard in this book.
Like, literally.
Really?
He except comes. For her, she doesn't come.
Well, no, but he does a lot. And he has magical cum.
I was just gonna bring that up. Apparently, his sperm gives you little orgasms. It's like
aphrodisiac.
Yeah, it's like tiny little orgasms all around your...
All over your skin.
Hits you.
Sounds pretty crazy.
I can't even imagine it. Like, you know, you're...
No. I just was, like, envisioning it like that KY that's, like, hot and cold. Like, the dual-sensitive...
Oh!
What's that?
Yeah. I know what you're talking
about. Basically, icy hot, but not icy hot. Right. Because you don't want to use that.
Oh, God, no.
Don't do that.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that hurt me just thinking about it. Yeah, no, don't do that.
No.
So I think some of the things that we wanted to bring up that some parts of this book touched on that we can relate to real world.
Yes.
So some
not
of the,
one full of demons.
Right. good talking points will probably surrounds the topic of human fallacies. I mean, it really talks about how, because Taylor is a demon hunter. She has been trained by the Aegis that all demons are bad and none of them are. You know, they're all out there to kill and just do bad things. So they need to be destroyed. And that's what she believes because she's seen it herself. Obviously, her mom was killed, was raped and killed by a demon right in front of her face, like Kalina said. So, you know, the humans are the good guys and the demons are the bad guys. Well, come to find out.
Her world is very black and white.
Yeah. She doesn't know really any better.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like the Aegis, at least not the cell that we deal with in New York. Now, it's a nation, or it's a worldwide organization, and I don't know if we'll find out more in future books or not, but the cell in New York doesn't seem to be that educated in demons. They just are trained to kill. They all, like, you know, fight, they sleep, they live together, they fight together, they train together, they are coming up with new weapons, like different metals kill different demons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of similar to Buffy in that sense, but then the flip side that Buffy has that the Aegis is missing is all the research.
Right.
Like, there's always, like, they're in the library, Willow's backup. There, Giles there. I'm going to bring my Buffy knowledge to this episode. And they're, like, learning. And there are demons or vampires or whatever that Buffy lets go and doesn't necessarily kill because sure. there are gray areas in the world. Mm-hmm. But Taylor, this is Taylor's journey for this book. Because mm-hmm. she starts off just,
yeah.
you're evil. Yep. You're not even human. You're it. Mm-hmm. You're a demon and I can't, I just want to kill you. And then eventually she's like in love with him and going to have his babies.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, I think this will be a good point to bring up that true. Taylor is actually half demon.
Yes.
So she finds out later and the brothers know almost right away. Or not right away, but they do eventually find out that she is.
They know from the minute she's in the hospital. Is it from the minute?
Okay. So they do know right away. They don't know what.
They just yeah. know that she's half demon.
And they obviously they don't tell her in the beginning because she's still Aegis and she's still a slayer. They still want to destroy her or at least take her to the courts or whatever. But eventually she starts to believe them. She finds out that she is half demon. She doesn't want to accept it, but she does. She finds out that she's actually got a twin sister, a fraternal twin sister named Jem, who knew she was a demon because...
She was raised by demons.
She was raised by demons. So apparently they're... What was that about? Like, the half-breeds or the mixes had to be... They wanted to be killed or destroyed? Like, other yes. demons want them destroyed?
Most demons... don't like the half-breeds. Mm-hmm. They can be extra dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you don't know exactly what they're going to be. So, Jem's adopted parents are sensor demons. And they can sense demon pregnancies and sense emotions and feelings mm-hmm. and all kinds of shit. So, they're doctors and they work alongside. And if some, you know, some woman comes in and they can sense that she's pregnant with a demon or half-demon, yeah. a half-breed, they can take care of that kid. They can right. either kill it or try... They do try to adopt him out mm-hmm. if they are, like, one of the good mixes, I right. guess. I don't know. That sounds really... Like, that gets them. A little crazy.
Yeah.
So, they sensed her. They sensed Jem when she was born as the demon, as the half-breed. Mm-hmm. And so, they took her and they wanted kids. They couldn't have their own, so they decided to take her and raise her
literally as their own
mm-hmm. and they left, and then it turned out there was a twin
yeah.
that no one knew about, and that was Taylor. She was born on this warehouse floor
yep.
addicted to crack, you know, all kinds mm-hmm. of things. So she had a terrible life.
She did. She had a terrible life in the beginning. Foster home and just been passed around and everything. So she's only known up to this point that she's been human. She was raised by a human mother. It's been fucked up. And it's just craziness. All craziness. So, of course, she's got a hate for these demons.
Yes, because you know. She watched one rape and kill her mother.
Kill her mother. Yeah.
But she is starting to experience a weird medical thing. That's like, true. Where she starts to go, like, numb randomly. And that's mm-hmm. what happened in the very beginning. And her friend who she was fighting with got killed mm-hmm. because all of a sudden in the middle of a fight, she lost control of half her body. So that kind of helps when E tells her that she's half demon and is trying to explain to her what's going on. So she has yeah. no course but to believe him at some point because something weird is going yeah, on
and
with
she
her.
She knows these changes are happening or that these occurrences are happening more often.
Making
so,
her...
And it's imminent. Her changes are coming up.
Yeah. So she has yeah. to make a choice to either, mm-hmm. like, probably die. or to accept that she is half demon and have her DNA integrated. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So that's yeah. her... That's part of her struggle. But all of this is teaching her things that she didn't know. You know, she lived in this black and white world where demons equal evil and mm-hmm. you have to kill them.
Yep.
And then she hangs out with E and he's, like, taking care of her and of other demons. He helps heal people. She meets this demon that's all, like... This mom demon with a bunch of little kids. They're all like, they sound like little fluffy nifflers
know,
or something.
I know, they're like crawling all over things. And oh. like, I know, that was just like, are these cute demons? These are cute demons.
They sound so adorable. And it turns out that they are vegetarian.
Yes.
And they come out in October because they like pumpkins.
I know.
So they eat squash. But she discovered that she'd killed a whole nest of them because yep. she thought that they were evil, that they came out in October and ate children, because that's yep. what the Aegis told her. And instead, they're yep. little vegetarian demons that eat pumpkins.
Yeah.
So cute.
She'd killed a whole
So she's like, that's a head trip. To
oh,
this
yeah.
guy. Well, I think she has to come to the realization, too, because a lot of the humans that she's been hanging around with, there's a whole group of them who have kind of gone rogue. and are now not just killing demons, but they're capturing them and harvesting their organs for use on the black market and in spells and black magic. And that's just not part of what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, their mandate is to, you know, protect humans. But how is that protecting humans? In fact, a lot of humans are in black magic and they're using these demon organs for their own purposes. She kind of has to come to the realization that humans aren't 100% good and demons aren't 100% evil. And Eidolon has that conversation with her about, you know, some lore, you know, between of like how it all happened with God and Satan. And once Satan left, he got to create his own beings. But because God made humans fallible, they could choose to be evil or good. Mm-hmm. Then God made sure that Satan created demons that could be evil or good, too.
Right, right.
So neither side got to make one just one thing.
Either bad or
so
either
there
good.
Are demons that are born good and there are humans that are born evil, and that's just part of life, and you can't put everybody into a box just because you think you know them.
And she talks about how, like, I guess both humans and demons like to make up things that they want to believe in, so but she realizes towards the end, I mean, she has a monologue and says that she sees that humans are even more evil than some of those monsters. So she really starts to reflect and starts to understand a ton more.
Yeah, that holds true in real world, not just in our fantasy books, because humans are doing horrible things to each other all the time. We don't need demonic influence.
Right. Right.
Or demons running around.
As much as people think that those are what are influencing us, we don't need that.
I think, that's too simple. Like, I think it's harder to believe, it's harder to understand how humans can hurt each other, so it's easy to say, must be a devil who's doing this, when in really humans make choices, and sometimes they make bad choices, and it hurts, and it sucks, and
destroy the earth, they destroy each other. We need to get together, people.
Let's stop fix our shit.
Fucking shit up.
Fix our shit.
Let's just get together, hold hands, and make flower bracelets or some shit. Like, it's just, we need to.
Why just be nice to each other?
Why can't we just be nice to each other?
I don't know. There's a lot of hurt in the world, and I think that makes it hard.
There's too much. Too much
hurt.
Many
broken humans with too much pain, and it's easy to lash out, and you gotta work through that at some point, hopefully have the chance to, and to learn from mistakes and from past behaviors. So,
well, and that's why I preach and will always preach that I believe in love, because with love, it's, you just can't really go wrong.
Well, that's what Taylor was missing her whole life.
Yep.
Her mom, as much as, you know, she was with her mom, but her mom was a drug addict who was being tormented by a demon the whole time. So she just really couldn't be the mom that a child would need. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have love there. Her foster home sounded horrific. Most of them abusive, it sounded, you know, like, and not, no security, no love.
Mm-hmm.
She lived on the streets and had to sell herself for food just to get by. No love there.
Yeah.
Even when she finally found the Aegis and Kynan brought her into the home and taught her and trained her and all of that, it still wasn't, I think she was on her own, her guard, and she didn't want to live with them. She thought that they were like a family to her, but they really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew that enough to be standoffish with them. So she never had anyone in her life until Eidolon, who loved her for her and showed her that. And then once he did, she had like a just tumbling of walls and like understanding, like, oh my
God.
All
these new emotions and just, a bigger, most importantly, a bigger understanding of herself. Because you have to know yourself first before you allow anybody else to know you. So, I mean, he did help bring that out in her, obviously. He knew she was a half demon and she didn't know that at all, but
no. And that's important for anyone, I think. Just know your half demon side. It's okay. It's okay to be half demon.
As long as you
just
do
know
right
it and
by
acknowledge it.
Yeah. That's fine. If you're a good demon. Okay,
now
we're
getting be one of the squash eating demons.
Yeah. Gourds are your friends.
Gourds. But, I mean, that kind of brings up the other piece of this book that's really important is family.
Yeah.
And there is real strong bonds from actual family in this book, and then also strong bonds from pseudo-family, like people who have come together as friends and created a family structure themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is how we live in our you know, the life to, like, in our world, you know, in reality. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't always have, you know, you're not necessarily born into the family that's great or that is right for you or whatever. Right. And sometimes you go out into the world and you make friends and you make bonds with people and they become your family. Mm-hmm. And that's important. That's just as important as any blood family.
Absolutely.
And it can be. So she has to get there. And then eventually she does. And now mm-hmm. she has, you know, she goes from being alone. She has nothing in her life. She has a mm-hmm. ferret.
Oh, yeah. Mickey.
Mickey.
I love that.
I like Mickey. And then by the end, you know, she's bonded to E. She's got brothers, a sister, and yeah. she's still connected to the Aegis. And
yeah, and I have a suspicion. They don't talk about it in this book, but I have a suspicion in the future books that she's gonna connect really well with Jem's parents, and that they're going to accept her and probably help try to raise her because they love her and they treated her. They raised her so well with love and with
Jem.
You know, yeah, Jem, mm-hmm. and to know. Like, they might feel a little guilt of not knowing that there was actually another baby there and that they didn't take, you know, she had to live this other life mm-hmm. that her twin didn't have to live. And so she just, you know.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. That might happen. Yeah, so they, yeah, make your own family. Yeah. You know, if you.
Yeah, I've got my family, my extended family, and then my tight-knit, close group of friends, and I'm mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. I'm very fortunate.
Yeah.
So.
I liked in this book how the demons are not immortal.
Yeah!
I finally have a book where people aren't immortal, and I'm like, yes, they're gonna die.
Do you were gonna love that part. Like,
oh. I mean, they live a fuck long time. They longer do live than a long humans. Time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Eidolon's breed, Seminous demons, are supposed to live about 700 years. Mm-hmm. The Soul Sucker, which is Taylor's half-demon side, is supposed to live 2,000 years. But because she's a half-breed, she'll only live a fraction of that. We're thinking around the 700 mark, because that would really work out for it her would. And Eidolon.
It's just what it is. She seems like fate. Seems like
so, fate. But no, I was like, yes, they aren't immortal.
That is kind of cool. So then what, like, if their babies are born... Because they do talk about her, you know, being in her ovulation mm-hmm. period. Does the baby come out mixed or is it just one demon? Like, will it be his type of demon?
Yep. Because okay. all he ever has, all Seminous demons have, is 100% Seminous offspring.
Oh, I thought they were just male.
They are full-blown male, but they're full-blown Seminous male.
So Wrath is... Not Wrath. Wraith is...
Wraith is Seminous. He just has the trait, like, he needs to drink blood.
Okay.
But he's not a vampire.
Okay, okay.
He just... They, like, pick up a little...
No, this is... You guys, this is why I'm asking questions, because I had a hard time following it, too. While I love this story, there is a lot going on, and I was just like, okay, Kalina's gonna have to explain this to me. But okay.
Yeah. They have certain traits of their... mothers. God. So they'll have some weird, like, whatever, yeah, however many sons Tay and E have together, they're gonna have some weird soul sucker demon traits, which doesn't sound like soul suckers are good demons, so I'm really worried for them.
Yeah, no, soul suckers seem, like, really bad. But do soul suckers only have, soul suckers can have both boys and girls?
Yeah, as far as we know, the only demons that this applies to are
the Seminous.
The Seminous.
Okay.
And so it just trumps Somebody. Everything. It trumps
okay.
everything.
Okay.
If you are a female demon inseminated by a Seminous demon, you are just going to have a boy Seminous demon.
Dan's a Seminous demon.
That's why you have sons.
That's why I've got sons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to our kiss and tell. So towards the end of the book, we find out that Tayla is half demon. She accepts it. She goes through her change. E is going through his, what do they call it? It was another weird word I didn't understand. But pretty much, he had to find his soulmate, his one and only person, before he did a complete morph over to a Seminous demon.
Yeah. So, because there's two options for a Seminous demon. If they're bonded before they change it at 100 years old, then they're bonded for life. They'll never have sex with anyone else, just their mate. And the only way out of that is death. Mm-hmm. There's no divorce in this world. It's a lifelong bonding, forever. Mating. If they are not mated, they turn 100, they transition into their full maturity. They often then are not the same person they were before. They are solely obsessed with mating and producing offspring. So they tend to take women against their will, mm-hmm. rape, you know, plunder, whatever they need. They can transform, shapeshift into whatever demon the female is so that uh-huh. she thinks she's mating with
right.
her own kind mm-hmm. so that she doesn't realize she's taking a seminous, like going to have a seminous demon offspring until it's too late. Mm-hmm. They do a whole lot of shit, but they just run wild for like years until eventually they all seem to get killed by other demon men who are like, fucking asshole, you just took my wife and now she's pregnant with a stupid seminist demon. So they seem to have short lives, mm-hmm. even though they can live to 700.
Right.
We haven't heard of a lot of them doing that.
Fucking up. So.
I mean, he had 40 brothers mm-hmm. and there's 3 left.
Yeah.
And all 40 seem to have been like conceived in the span of like 10 years. Yeah. Like in real short period of time. So I don't think his father lived all that long past his 100th year. So he's afraid of that. He doesn't want to become like that.
Right. Right.
He really doesn't want to lose himself. He won't be able to be a doctor because he'd be so obsessed with women. Like, any mm-hmm. female patient that came in would be at risk from him.
Mm-hmm. And he's going, like, through those emotions and those changes periodically through the book, and more so towards the end, where he's just, like, he needs a release, or he just needs to fuck something, and he just, like, their sex scenes are so intense, and they are so good, because he just needs the sex. I mean, she does too, because, you know.
That's all he needs.
It's good.
He needs it.
That's some good,
real good sex scenes.
Slimy shit going on there.
So, luckily, Taylor and him find each other and are in love, and she agrees to become his mates, and they do it just in time, right before his change. Mm-hmm. So then he goes through his full maturation, and now is. He basically used to stay himself, and he's not driven by crazy abnormal lust to impregnate everything that walks on the planet. He's just in love with Taylor, uh-huh. and all he cares about is Taylor, and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that happens. So then at the end, there's one last little like scene where she's told him he needs to come home wearing his scrubs, mm-hmm. and he comes home and she's wearing a hospital gown.
She's wearing her hospital gown. Like, okay, that's not that sexy, but whatever.
I don't think those are sexy.
Those are not, actually not, yeah.
They're
not
even real that unsexy.
They're really unsexy. They, I mean, like, they just open at the back.
And then they're just all, like,
they're
billowy.
They're the worst.
And,
yeah, they're
And they're
not.
Often, like, real stupid colors.
They're, like, the worst patterns.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she sort of reenacts the first scene that they had together. She doesn't really remember it because she was under a lot of drugs the first time that they had sex when they first met in the hospital. But she does show him a tattoo that she just recently got of his
Caduceus.
His Caduceus. It's like,
it's not 100% the human one because he's a demon. So it's a little bit changed, they said. They described it.
So she shows him the tattoo and he's like, oh. But she gets it. I think she gets it as
oh, it's a tramp stamp. It is a straight up tramp stamp.
Like, all right. So yeah, so then they have this scene about sort of role playing in their own roles. Like when they first doctor patient.
He's the doctor, she's the patient.
Yeah.
Which is all that far off from their exact actual
right. So that then brings us to our kiss and tell, which is role playing.
Yep.
And whether or not we have ventured into all of that.
Yeah.
So.
No. That's easy. It's not because I'm opposed to it or anything.
That's why you're like, yeah, let's do that one.
Yeah, we'll do that one. I have nothing to say about it. I have no stories to share.
Oh my god. I almost feel like I have the stories.
Except- well, I think, here, I have I mean, I could be wrong. And me saying it is probably wrong. My reasoning for this is, you're in a long 15-year relationship. I am in much shorter term relationships over the past couple of years. So there's never been a, like, you know, let's change the, like, it's just always, we just have sex.
But even like on like a whim when it's like the first time or where it's, I don't know.
No.
What, okay.
Sorry.
I guess that also goes to, like, how kinky you are.
Yeah. I think at the end, we're going to go through, like, all of these, you know, books, and it's going to be like, oh, Kalina has very vanilla sex. White bread sex for all of it. She has no stories to share.
So for say, let's kiss and tell.
Yay!
Well, the only story I didn't have was where we had, like, same-sex type of...
Oh, yeah.
...relations. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Dan and I definitely have done the role-playing. We got married probably a year or so after we started dating. I don't know. It's been a long time. It's more than half my life now. No, half my life. No, okay, now I'm doing bad math again.
You're doing bad math. You're not that young, nope. Honey.
Nope. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so, I mean, we've done all sorts of weird, fun, interesting, stupid... I'm just going to say...
Every adjective.
every adjective there is, so... But they're, I mean, they're fun. We haven't done any, obviously, since the boys were born. I think we just kind of, like, just do each other and then call it good. I mean, we've done the school teacher and the student, done two strangers in the woods. That was camping at Radium. That was not when I almost died on the river. That was just he and I.
Okay. Yeah.
We've done mail order bride. We've done... That one we do a lot. It's kind of fit in that mode, I guess. But yeah, no, definitely we have played. We might have played doctor and patient. We might have, because I'm always trying to give him, like, CPR mouth-to-mouth when he's not paying attention. And I catch him off guard. And then, like, he really does need help because I'm attacking him. But, yeah, no, it's fun. Mm-hmm. We've played with... we've played with, I mean, costumes. You guys know we have toys. We're adventurous. Dan yeah. likes to do research, and he likes to
play. He's a very research type person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to waste his time. So, it's like, no, this one sounds good. Let's do this one. Oh, hell yeah. He'll be like, oh, I gotta try this one on you. And I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, gotta let me do it. I'm like, okay. It doesn't take much for me. No, we haven't done any, like, paranormal.
Well, I think someone's got to be a demon sometimes. I feel like it's only accurate for our podcast
now. I only have, like, cat ears. Like, I don't have any costumes. Besides,
you could be a cat shapeshifter.
I could.
Ooh. Anyway, I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, that one isn't, I mean,
sorry.
I don't know if we would have, like...
I don't have any issue or problem. No, for sure. Or I'm not opposed
and
to
you, them. I was going to say, you would do it if the opportunity
I would think so.
Came, then yeah.
I do.
Mean, it's just... you like to dress up and you
sure.
like to...
Sure. I do. I just never even been discussed.
Wow.
So that one's...
So, yeah. That's that. This has been a pretty tame episode so far. We talked about how great the sex is, and how great
it is. Good.
There's sex. A lot of good sex in there. It's.
But I guess we've said that a lot, so that's not real helpful.
No, but it's not like we can really do much with it.
No, you guys have to read it. Like
just
I mean,
have to
you don't
read it. Yeah.
Tell you that it's good. You gotta read it, and then you'll be like, yeah, that is a really good sex scene in that book.
There's sex sporadically through this book. I mean, they talk about a sex scene with the leader of the Aegis and his wife, and
they have
you
sex.
Know, they have sex.
Pretty. And just in the middle of a house full of kids.
With the doors unlocked.
Unlocked doors. That seems good. I mean, they're like teenage and 20-year-old kids.
Sure.
They're not like children,
right,
but
right.
still.
You'd think you would lock your door.
There's a lot of almost having sex in public in these books. Like, in front of family. Like, mm-hmm. not just like, public, but, like, yeah, the brothers in the room, like, in the room watching or playing video games, and they almost have sex right there in front of him. I'm like, ooh.
At the zoo.
Or, like, the two Aegis leaders did apparently, not in the book, but they were referencing a scene where they would, like...
Yep.
start going at it and the room would clear and everyone would leave
mm-hmm.
and then they'd be done and be like, oh, everyone left us. Yeah, you were having sex in front of people.
And they were human, so it's not like they just like...
That was not a lust or that was not a demon oriented
that was a human
lack of control. It was a human thing.
Nature thing, which is just a lack of...
That was a sad piece to the story.
It was. That relationship. Because I liked Kyan, but...
Lori.
His wife.
Yeah.
Which, if you guys want to know, just read it.
Yeah, we cannot tell you every piece of the story.
No, we can't, because then you'll be here forever.
It'll be forever. It's 11 hours long.
Yep. So.
Our fun fuck fact. For this book, we are going to do, in honor of the vegetarian gourd-eating demons, we thought we would share with you some interesting information about pumpkin pie.
Yes.
So, according to yourtangle.com, pumpkin pie is a huge aphrodisiac for men. And actually, it's more of the scent. So, it is, apparently, according to science, it...
She air quoted science, guys.
Science.
Just in case.
It is the sexiest scent that can draw in men. For some reason,
though, pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
Fuck.
Just it.
That's nonsense.
You need, if you want to get lucky with the guy tonight, guys, you have to smell like fucking pumpkin pie. The spices, cinnamon, cloves, all that weird shit. I don't buy it. I think it's weird.
This is nonsense. How can that literally be the most attractive scent for men? Wouldn't that smell like Thanksgiving? And that's not a sexy holiday.
No, it's not.
That's a holiday where you're like, fuck, I ate too much fucking food, and I'm drunk, and my family sucks.
I know, all you're doing is, and then it's just like food babies the whole time, like jiggling while you're getting it on. Like, no, that's not sexy. I don't get it either. But I'll tell you what, I am going to go buy a bunch of pumpkin spice candles now.
Ew, I don't even want that in my house.
Put that, light that shit up.
Do you want me to tell you? I can make up for my lack of kiss and tell earlier and tell you a secret that you don't know.
Yes. You owe me that.
So it was two Thanksgivings ago is when I hooked up with my current for the first time. So it was apparently a sexy holiday.
Uh-huh. It is. See, it works for you.
But I don't think there was pumpkin pie involved.
Slices.
There was a bottle of whiskey involved.
Oh, there was
a whole bottle.
Uh-huh.
One solid bottle.
My God. I'm not surprised, but it is. I mean, maybe not for him, but for you.
Oh, I didn't have any of the whiskey. I was drinking wine. The whole bottle of whiskey was his.
Holy shit. There was slices of pumpkin pie there.
Oh, I'm sure there was. We were there all fucking day. Of course there was pie.
Yeah. I mean, we're referencing Friendsgiving for Thanksgiving that we do every year.
Like, so the Friday following, Black Friday, yeah. Friday yeah. following Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. we always get together as friends, and all of us bring leftovers because we're all dinner. Tired of having that food in our lives, and we want to just get rid of it.
That's like the best
And we usually drink and play cards all day, and mm-hmm. sometimes the guys go out shopping and buy giant TVs, and we drink wine, and, yeah. Well, Sayla doesn't, because I drink wine.
Oh, I wish I could. Yeah, well, yeah, you drink the wine, because then if me and Emily are toasted, then none of the kids have anybody to watch after them, so it would not be a good thing.
They need to learn to fend for themselves.
You're on your own. Little kids.
Just throw food at them?
Yeah, I know, really.
So anyway, that's...
Not the pumpkin
so
pie.
So I guess, despite my previous protestations that pumpkin pie is not a sexy scent and it doesn't make sense to me, my own life experience might disprove or like prove this correct.
Yep. Yep. I might have to go with that. Well, now I seriously am just gonna go get a pumpkin pie from Village Inn or something and be like, honey, here's some pumpkin pie. I don't even know if he likes fucking pumpkin pie, but
I can't say that I have seen Dad eat pumpkin pie, but
no, he doesn't eat very much pie.
No, dessert.
Mm-mm. No, it's not
his great thing.
Anyway, on to our next book.
Either believe science or don't.
Right.
No,
no. Yeah, this is science, people. Whether or not you
actually,
see my air quotes.
If you decide to try this out and you have any success with this, let us know.
Yeah.
Tell us that we're wrong and this pumpkin pie scent actually got you laid.
Yeah, and we'll address it in a few episodes, months later.
No, by the time they hear this, we're going to be fine. Oh, wait, no, we'll still be 14
no, we'll
ahead.
No, we'll still be.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah.
We'll never be.
No.
Anyway, next book. So for our next podcast, we're going to be reading Charming, which is the first book in the Pax Arcana series by Elliot James. And that book is narrated by Roger Wayne. And we think... We're almost 100% sure, even though we cannot find a picture of Elliot James anywhere online. Yeah. We think this is our first male author.
Exciting!
So.
This is cool.
Gonna be good. It's gonna be different. You know, mm-hmm. get a book in the romance genre from a male mm-hmm. author perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So we're excited.
Join us on that. It's good.
Join us. We'll talk about that then. Sorry. Oh, what's happening?
Oh my God. No, I'm gonna tell you, man. me editing these stories, sometimes I'm like, oh, that's something that I wanted to first apologize for. I should have said this in the beginning of the podcast, but I go through all of our recordings and listen, and I don't understand half of the shit I say sometimes. And I'm like, how does Kalina have a conversation with me? How do these people even understand what I'm saying? I don't make any fucking sense. So I would like to apologize that I have this own stuff going on in my head, I guess, while I'm recording. And then when I listen to it again, I have to edit myself so much because I'm like, that's not even what she was talking about. Why are you talking about that, Saylat? That's dumb. Or, like, I'm, like, the worst storyteller. I don't know. It's just weird. So I just like to apologize about that.
Maybe I think you're fine.
I'm being a big critic to myself.
You're being critical. You're being self-critical. I think you're fine. I understand 90% of what you're talking about.
I also understand 90% of what you say only because I can't think at that level. So
that's fine. Who needs 100% understanding? Okay. That's boring.
That's almost
kind I of... like interpreting things. Yes. And be like, I think this is what she's meaning. Obviously. I'm just going to assume. This can't go wrong in any way if I just assume.
The listeners can't understand it, but there are times where you, when I'm talking and you're looking at me and you cock your head and you're like, and I'm like, oh, there I go again. I just said something that doesn't make any sense. Okay. So, all right.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and for putting up with us.
Do you want to tell them about our social media?
I do. I would like you to reach out on social media so we can get back to you in 3 months' time. We can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at @shdirtybooks. That's with 3 H's across all 3 platforms. We also have email, which is shdirtybooks@gmail.com. Again, sh has 3 H's. S-H-H-H.
And you can Dirty Books. Also find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, WordPress, Google Play, probably a bunch of other podcast apps that I don't know of.
But anywhere you download podcasts, you should be able to download us. I found us in many, many places.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So, I mean, we're
you're listening to us now. How'd you get here? Do that again.
Right, exactly. We're getting better at doing, you know, all of our posting and stuff now that we actually have things to post. So,
4 months ago.
But
no.
Time is irrelevant.
Time does not matter. Time does not matter. It's a social construct. Actually, it's not. Time is not a social construct. Anyway, thank you. We gotta go now. I think it's late.
It is late.
We're tired.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylat. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy music and amazing introduction.